You know, I wanted to bring to your remembrance that there's a war going on. And we are... coming. It was church. They heard awful news that Japan had bombed Pearl Harbor. They were shocked. No one had really expected that. It was a sudden thing. But the war I'm talking about has been going on for thousands of years. There's no ceasefire to this war. This war is being fought over the greatest prize known to mankind, and that's your soul and mine. And we know it's the greatest thing that we have is our soul, because Jesus says, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Would he give up the entire world and lose his soul? See, one soul is worth the world, and Satan wants you and me. And he's fighting each and every day. And you know, a lot of times Christians feel like they can be neutral, like the Swiss. We don't want to fight. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, if you're not for me, you're against me. If you're not sowing the seed, you're scattering the seed. So what about you and me today? And so, you know, the apostle encourages us that therefore put on the whole armor of God, that when the day of evil comes, he doesn't say if the day will come, he says when it comes. And many of you probably have experienced some evil days in your life. But you see, whether you've experienced it or not, evil will come to you. And God calls us to armor up. And He tells us to put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and have the shield of faith. And you know, it says that Satan, he shoots... I'm a bow hunter, but he shoots fiery arrows at us. You see, he wants to destroy you and not just stick it in you. He wants to burn you up. Do you have the faith that your shield will... offensive weapon we have, I highlighted it there, is the sword of the Spirit. Goes on to say, finally, brethren, he says, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. And he says, our struggle's not against flesh and blood. And if our conflict isn't with people, why do we spend so much time at it? You know, fighting with our spouse, our kids, our bosses. Why do we spend all our time trying to convince people we're right in the Scriptures or politics? We spend a lot of time. In a different realm. It's being fought spiritual force. In Genesis 1:1, God says, in the beginning, God created the plural heavens and earth. And both two were heaven in old. Multiple spheres of spiritual activity. Do you know about them? You should. I'll tell you why in just a minute, but the spiritual realms, there's one that when he created the heavens and the earth, the first thing he did was separate the water in the firmaments. There's an atmosphere here, and one of the areas that Satan is, he's the prince of the air. He's the prince of the air. He goes about this world in our atmosphere. That's the first heaven. The second heaven you can read about in Revelations 12 and 14. Talks about there is a spiritual war going on between the forces of good and the forces of evil to thwart God's plans. And then the third one, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul tells of a time when he was caught up into the third heaven. Some translations say paradise. And he was shown and he heard indescribable things. And whoever was talking to him in this third heaven said, you cannot tell what you have seen. The third heaven. The fourth heaven is described in Isaiah and in Psalms that the Lord God sits above the heavens. So we know at least there's four dimensions of heaven, and God Almighty is not bound by time and space. So he's in all and through all. And why is that important? Why should you care? Well, couple reasons. Because it's real. You ought to care about real things and truth. And not only that, you ought to care because James tells us in James chapter 4 that your life is but a vapor which is appeared for a short time and then vanishes away. Where are you going to spend the rest of your existence? You hope in the heavenly realm. Don't you? We hope we do in the heavenly realms. And so we need to know that. Not only the third thing is the reason why you need to know it. Not only is it real and you'll spend the rest of eternity there. The third reason is because if you understand there's a war being fought, you may take it a little more serious. And that's why it's important that you understand that there are other dimensions than where you exist. Okay? It's not a Steven Spielberg Dreamwork kind of thing. It's true. And there are dimensions with spiritual activity going on. And God is spirit and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. We must connect our spirit with the Lord's. And so what I want to do is go to 2 Corinthians for a bit, and it talks about that this war, we use weapons that are not man's weapons. We don't use bazookas and missiles and AR-15s. We don't use those kind of weapons. The weapons we need and we fight with are what? Ones of divine power. Keep that in mind. It says, divine power, which not only will release us from strongholds, it will demolish the strongholds in our life. Now, if you look at stronghold, the Greek word, okurima, on the screen, okurima, is really, it talks about two things. Usually, it's a fortification. It's like a medieval castle where you have these huge walls and battlements where knights are there and you're trying to keep the enemy out. But in this particular case, in this passage, it talks about you being in prison. See, he's already come into your life. He's already captured you, and now he holds you firmly in his grasp as if you were in prison. And the thing about it is you are a prison, and I am a prisoner sometimes by deception, because he is a liar. He's a manipulator. He's a deceiver. And not only that, sometimes we are in a stronghold that pretends to be greater than God is. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had an addiction that you couldn't seem to get rid of? Maybe people don't even know about the addiction, but it's a dark, deep hole in your heart. It may be a wound that you carry that you can't really forgive yourself of in your past. It may be envy. It may be gossip. And you want to so get out of these strongholds, but you can't. Well, folks, I can tell you right now, you're living a lie. You're believing a lie. And what happens is, I was in India not too long ago, and they train elephants by putting these huge chains on them. And you can watch on YouTube and stuff, they go berserk. And they drive this huge stake in the ground, and they'll run as fast as they can, and they'll just plow trunk and all into the ground because of these chains that are holding them. And that's how they train them. That's what Satan's doing to you. But pretty soon, see, he doesn't have to lie to you anymore. You believe, just like the elephant, as the years go by, if there's any little tug when you pull, even a leather strap will keep you secure. We believe a lie. We believe a lie that we can't overcome the sin which so easily besets us. And it's all part of the spiritual warfare. It says when he lies, he's speaking his native language. You know, there's things that we talk about. Our lives. Do you get that, right? Some of you may remember this story. Mart was 14 years old, and she was abducted at knife point in her bedroom in her home at night with her sister sleeping in a bed right next to her. She was abducted at knife point and taken by Brian David Mitchell into the wilds of Utah and was abused and terrorized for months. And there was a nationwide hunt for Elizabeth Smart. And brutalized and terrorized by this man and his common law wife, Wanda. And they took him, and it was a cult. And after about 6 months, they took her out into public. So when they had to go places, they'd take her into town. And they would cover her all up. All she saw was her face, her eyes and her face. No hair color, no nothing. It was all covered. And several times, she was within 5 feet of a police officer. You see, all she had to say to get out of this nightmare was, "I'm Elizabeth Smart." And they would have taken her and brought her into safety, but no, she had been so terrorized. Brian said, "If you say anything, I will kill you." And she believed that lie. What about you and me? Do you believe that lie? You see, a couple months later, she was in town, and a police officer says, you know, that little girl kind of looks like Elizabeth Smart. He went up to her and said, are you Elizabeth Smart? And she said, yes, and he immediately took her into safety, and they had a worldwide hunt for Brian and Wanda. They were on television's, remember, The Most Wanted? America's Most Wanted? They were on there, and he is now serving two life sentences. Elizabeth Smart today graduated from the university. She's married and has three kids, and she's a victim advocacy. But the point of it is, all she had to do to get out of living that nightmare was say, I'm Elizabeth Smart. And what about you and me? This morning I want to give you a couple of suggestions, and really three threes. Real quickly, I want to give you three realities you need to know, three weapons that you can use in this war, and three things you ought to do every day, okay? The first one is that Satan is real. He's not a figment of your imagination. He's not a dragon with a pitchfork. I kind of like this picture. That's why I put it up there. But you see, that's not what he looks like. He masquerades as an angel of light. Or maybe a member of the church. You see, he's somebody you can trust, somebody you would like. Oh, I believe this guy, and he masquerades as an angel of light, wanting you to be deceived. He goes on to say that even Michael, the archangel, he said he overcome, but what is his purpose? To lead the whole world astray. That's his purpose. Satan is real. I just read 63% of American Christians that were surveyed, 63% believe that he is symbolic. He represents evil, and so he's just a symbolic thing. He wants you to believe he's symbolic. And I'm here to tell you he's real. And he's fighting for your soul and my soul. The second thing is, he has one purpose in life. And his one purpose is to destroy you. That's his goal. He's not to make friends with you. He's not to give you what you want. His one purpose is to destroy you. He says that the thief comes only for three things: to steal, kill, and destroy. I mean, he wants to ruin your day. And if he can't get to you, folks, he'll get to your family, your kids, your loved ones. He is real, and he's out to destroy you. And that's a reality you need to know. The good news is that Satan is subject to a higher authority. See, when Job was tempted, he had to go and ask the Lord God what he could do. What was the extent of it? You see, God will not allow you to be tempted more than what you can handle. When you sin, you do it because you want to, just like me. Because you see, you can overcome because God will not allow you to be tempted more than you are. He says, the one in me is greater than the one outside. You see, if we're living with the presence of God in our life, he is greater than Satan. And that should come as good news if we're fighting this battle. And so let me give you three weapons. The name of Jesus. A lot of people think that's a bit much, but at the name of Jesus, things happen. You see, right here, the 72 came back after being on a mission, and they told Jesus, they said, Jesus, even the demons submit to us in your name. Do you provoke a response like that? Do you get a response like that? Are you working and saying, in Jesus' name, leave me? We can use the name of Jesus. He goes on to say, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. You see, His name is powerful. Not only that, the blood of Jesus Christ is also a powerful weapon. Because he goes on to say that talking about the martyrs in Revelation, that through the blood of the Lamb and their testimony that they were in His camp, their testimony, they overcame the evil one. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? One of the greatest weapons that you can use is being washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then finally, the Word of God. And I thank you that you have a symbol here. It is every day. '70s, I had a man. Health, if you have health problems, but what's it saying if you go outside the umbrella? Woo, bad things. Bad things are going to happen to you. You know, this is what we look like outside, trying to do it ourselves. When we don't submit to God and come under His provision and His protection, we're like a little kid with a plastic sword fighting demons that have 2,000 years of experience. How well do you think it'll go? I'll give you a story. It's a Bible story. It's recorded in Acts chapter 19. And what happens is, in Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul left Apollos in Corinth and he went to Ephesus. And there he was asking people, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, no. And he said, well, who were you baptized? And they said, John's baptism. And he said, well, you need to be baptized by Jesus. And when you're baptized into Jesus, He gives you a down payment. He gives you an earnest money, the Holy Spirit that lives in your life. And it says, the Lord did many wonderful miracle signs through the Apostle Paul at Ephesus. Well, when that happens, you start getting a name for yourself. And other people get to be jealous. You got this? So, there were seven sons of the high priest of the Jews there at Ephesus that wanted to have the same kind of fame. So they said they wanted to start casting out demons. Now, they didn't follow Jesus. They followed the old law. But they wanted the accolades, and they wanted the fame that could come by casting out demons. So in Jesus' name, they approached this demonic man. And the demon speaks. I know Jesus, and I know Paul. And then he asks the most important question, who are you? Who are you? You don't bring power. You say Jesus' name. You say the Apostle Paul's name. We know him. We don't know who you are. And it says they immediately jumped on them, the demons, and beat them severely. And it's so much so they ran through the city beaten, bloodied, and it says naked. Now, instead of being famous, they became infamous. Why? Because they were not under the protection of the divine providence of God. We need to commit ourselves to be first under the protection and guidance of God. Submit your will to Him. That's the first thing you should do each and every day. When you do that, you'll be able to resist Satan. The second thing is we got to close. If you allow the schemes of Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, it had nothing to do with those people. They didn't want to be forgiven. It was about his heart. It's about your heart, too. If you withhold forgiveness, you allow the schemes of Satan to enter your life. It also talks about anger. And it's really cool because it says you can be angry, but don't let the sun set on your anger. You can keep it for a day. You can be mad. But you got to let it go. If you don't let it go, pretty soon you'll become vengeful. And then you'll become really bitter. If you don't let your anger go. And it gives Satan a foothold in your life. Got to close those doors. Not only that, it says has nothing to do with the fruitful deeds of darkness. Have nothing to do with them. You've got to get rid of that in your life. And then finally, confront the enemy. That's my best. That's my best thing with a knight. That's the best I could do. All right. But you've got to confront the enemy. You've got to confront the enemy. It says be self-controlled and alert. You remember the five wise virgins and the five foolish ones? There were five that were alert, five that prepared for the war, and five that didn't. And it's important that we stay alert. God says, hey, he will come back as a thief in the night. And if you knew he was coming, you'd be up there to greet him. But he'll come when you least expect it. The same with Satan. When you're at your lowest, he's coming. When you're at your weakest, he's coming. When you're the least spiritual, he's coming. When you quit reading your Bible and praying, he's coming. And it's important that your soul is worth more to God than every kingdom and every box of gold on this earth. And He fights for you, but you must fight with Him.